I'd like to call the Monday, March 18th meeting to order. Sherry, would you please call the roll?
I will. Carl Amelon?
Here.
Andy Donato?
Here.
Bob Severson?
Present.
Jack Davies? Dick Kuss? Cliff Skillings? Bob Lynn?
Here.
Robert Larson?
Here.
Steve Prysunka? Lisa Von Bargen? Excuse me, can I ask whether or not it was Cliff Skillings that joined us on the telephone?
No, this is David Thompson who just called in.
Okay, David. Yep, I was going to ask about you next. Is there anybody else on the phone that would like to introduce themselves?
You've got Joel Paisner, Council Tasipa.
Thank you, Joel.
Carl Hagerman, Utility Director for Petersburg's on the line.
Thank you, Carl.
Do we have enough for a quorum?
And we've got David Thompson.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. And we've got Ed Schofield.
Yep.
Robert Seidman and Trey Acton here as well.
Yep.
Thank you. Do we have a motion to approve the agenda as presented?
This is Bob Lynn. I'll so move to approve the agenda.
Thank you, Bob.
It's Carl Amelon. I'll second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Additions?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Can we add a new number five and slide the existing five down just to so we can address the date of the next meeting?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
So we're going to add a new item number five to address the date of the next meeting. So do, with that amendment, please call the roll.
Amelon?
Yes.
Severson?
Yes.
Lynn?
Yes.
Thank you. We only have three voting members, Mr. Chair. So.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
That brings us on to item three, new business consideration and review of the refunding bond resolution number 2019-073. Craig.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I believe we've spoke to the entire board about this upcoming refunding opportunity, and I've asked David Thompson to join us today and to help kind of walk us through this, if you will, and answer any questions the board may have. And we've also prepared a suggested motion, if you will, for the resolution that we may want to get on the table.
Let's get that on the table first, then.
Yeah.
There's a suggested motion available.
This is Carl Amelon in Ketchikan. I move to adopt resolution number 2019-073, authorizing the issuance of electric revenue refunding bonds of the agency. To refund for savings the agency's outstanding electric revenue refunding bond series 2009, approving an amended and restated indenture, an escrow deposit agreement, and other documents to be executed, delivered, or distributed in connection therewith, and authorizing the sale of the refunding bonds to the Alaska Municipal Bond Bank on the terms and conditions provided in the resolution.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
This is Bob Lynn. I'll second it.
Thank you. Back to you, Trey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So we did find one small error that's in the escrow agreement. That would be on page 8 of the escrow agreement, that it says this agreement shall be governed exclusively by the provisions hereof and by applicable laws of the state of Washington, and it should say Alaska. That'd be on page 8 of the escrow agreement. So I think, Joel, did you want to say a few words before David jumped in?
I think every, thanks Trey, this is Joel, and I'll just, for those of you who don't know David Thompson is our bond counsel, and he's been diligently working with all of us and the bond bank and the Wells Fargo trustee, and David is also bond counsel to Ketchikan and has worked with Wrangell, so he's very familiar with our agency and our member utilities. And David, I'll just let you go ahead and explain to us what's before the board and what they're being asked to approve, if you could.
Okay, thank you. As Joel said, my role is to serve as bond counsel, which is kind of a special type of legal representation, basically helping make sure that the agency, if it enters into some kind of debt obligation, is doing that under the appropriate Alaska state laws and under the your bylaws and in accordance with your agency agreement. This transaction in some ways is similar to what the agency did in 2015. You refinanced then part of the 2009 bonds. This is the sort of the follow-up to that transaction, which is to refinance the rest of those outstanding 2009 bonds. The difference between this transaction and the 2015 transaction is that instead of having the bonds sold in the public marketplace to investors, you're going to sell your bond through the Alaska Municipal Bond Bank. And the bond bank, I'm sure those of you who are representing Ketchikan, Wrangell, and Petersburg are very familiar with how the bond bank works. The bond bank basically buys the bonds of local agencies, local governments, but then turns around and issues its own bonds in the public marketplace and uses the proceeds from those bonds to buy your bonds to essentially make you a loan. And the documentation that is typical in a bond bank transaction is a loan agreement, which is why there's a sample form of loan agreement included among the documents that are approved by this resolution. So you will issue both a bond, a single bond, to the bond bank and enter into a loan agreement that basically sets forth the terms under which you will repay that bond. Bond bank, I'm not a financial advisor, I just am basically addressing the legal requirements, but I think Trey and Joel have been working with the bond bank to get an estimate of how much the transaction would cost, and my understanding is that they've learned that it would be relatively inexpensive for the agency to go through this transaction through the bond bank and achieve greater debt service savings without quite as much of the upfront cost of a transaction like the more complicated 2015 transaction. Does anybody have any questions about how a bond bank transaction would work in this case?
I see none in Ketchikan.
Okay. Well, I'll just keep plowing ahead and describe what this resolution does. This is the only action the board required to participate in the bond bank transaction. It basically sets forth the general description of what's going to happen, which is paying off all of these outstanding 2009 bonds. That can be done on June 1st. This transaction with the bond bank will probably close on May 2nd, and so the proceeds of the loan you're going to get from the bond bank will be set aside in escrow and used to make that payment on June 1st to essentially get rid of all the 2009 bonds. Because the 2009 bonds are going to be retired completely, there are some amendments that were provided for in 2015 that can take effect now that the rest of the 2009 bonds are going to be retired. And so when the resolution refers to springing amendments, those are the amendments that were provided for in the 2015 transaction. And basically, you could make these changes only once all of the 2009 bonds were retired. And the investors who bought the 2015 bonds bought them knowing that some of the terms for the deal were going to change once these springing amendments could, in effect, spring. And that's what's going to happen now. Most of the changes that are described in the 2015 documents are fairly technical things that involve how the agency makes its payments. They were changes that everybody seemed to agree in 2015 would be good to happen, but could not happen until the 2009 bond, the last of the 2009 bonds were retired. But that's why this resolution makes reference to those changes. The three documents being approved by this resolution, or at least the preliminary forms of them, are the ones that are presented to you at the meeting today. The amended restated indenture, basically the indenture is your agreement with the bond trustee on the terms for which you issue your bonds. There was an indenture in 2009 when the 2009 bonds were issued that took out the old ADA bonds. There was a supplemental indenture in 2015. You're allowed to issue certain bonds, more bonds under the original indenture. But now that we're making these various revisions, it just seems simpler to the various parties concerned to create a whole new document. We call it amending and restating, basically keeping all the provisions of the original documents that are still applicable, revising those that are not, and just creating one document. So instead of having to look back at three different documents to figure out what applies to your bonds going forward, the trustee and all the other parties to the transaction, including the bond bank and its lawyers, look only at one document. And they agree that that was a more streamlined approach, which is why you're looking at a very long and I'm sure very exciting document, the amended restated indenture. It's probably not very exciting reading, but it basically sets forth the terms for which the new bonds will be issued and the terms under which the 2015 bonds remain outstanding. That's maybe as much as I want to say at this point. Does anybody have other questions I haven't answered about the transaction and about what you're being asked to consider today?
Is there any questions in regards to the documents that are before us?
And this is Joel, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
May I ask a question? So, David, just to reiterate and be clear here, that once, assuming the board members approve the resolution before them, they're authorizing the CEO to execute these documents and any other related necessary documents on behalf of the agency once completed in order to complete the transaction.
That is correct. The only qualification I would say is that basically that the resolution authorizes doing a new transaction to save debt service. There's no authorization for new money bonds. There's no authorization for new projects. This is strictly to authorize refinancing existing debt to save on debt service costs.
And at our last regular meeting, I think Trey and Kay laid out what the savings were and the advantages of going through the bond bank as well. So,
okay.
So at this time, Trey, do you have those numbers again?
Not right in front of them, yeah. Probably look them up for
you. Put them in the minutes. Trey's going to get those numbers for us.
Yeah, so thank you. It's helpful just to be reminded of what that is.
Yeah.
Well, Trey's looking for those numbers. I guess I could also point out that we have given the bond bank and its lawyers a chance to review these documents. We've given your bond trustee a chance to review them, and we've gotten a few comments and changes to make based on their comments, but basically they all approve the format of the documents and the approach to the transaction is being described here. So,
thank you.
Okay. All right, Mr. Chair. So the open market savings summary that we received over our, if we did not refinance, would have been a $310,536 savings. By going through the Alaska Municipal Bond Banks, the savings summary was $343,333. And there may be some additional savings. We estimated around $30,000. Realized through reduced cost of issuance by going through the bond bank because their process is much more simple, and so that's the numbers.
Thank you. Are there any other questions before we move forward with the vote, Carl?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman.
Carl has the floor right at the moment.
Joel or David, okay. I'm not sure which one of you is the best to refer this to, but my understanding was that the member utilities also have to approve this.
The only requirement from the member utilities is to approve or authorize somebody at each member utility to provide information that we're going to need for the tax analysis and a general certificate, a form of general certificate. I provided a draft last week to Bob Newell, what that certificate and what that resolution would look like. So in the 2015 transaction, each member utility had to approve several documents, several agreements that were a little more complicated, but because we're now allowed to eliminate some of the real property that was a security for the old 2009 bonds, those sorts of agreements are not being required by the member utilities. So what the resolution of each for each assembly and city council look like is quite a bit shorter than the resolution you were asked to consider in 2015. And the kind of information that we're going to ask the finance directors or municipal administrators to certify to is a little bit simpler than last time.
What Bob Newell had indicated to me last week was what you had sent him was not yet in final form. And I guess my question is, whatever approval is needed, does that require the approval of the city council or the borough assemblies?
It does, and I sent Bob a sample of that, of what that resolution will look like. I don't think that that's going to change. The resolution will probably stay the same. It's possible the certificates will be slightly different. My tax lawyer is going to have to look at them, and he may tweak certain things and want me to rephrase certain things so that the actual certificate that's going to be required at closing may look slightly different from the form that's being presented that I sent to Bob, but the resolution shouldn't change.
So when do you need those by?
When I talked to Chip Pierce, he's the financial advisor for the bond bank, and the bond bank would like all these steps to be taken before it actually turns around and sells its bonds, which is going to happen in mid-April. So we're hoping that the assemblies and the city council can act by sometime in early April. I think Bob Newell thought it could be put on the agenda in Ketchikan for the April 4th city council meeting.
Thank you.
And I think in Wrangell it's on the agenda for an April 1st assembly meeting, but I wouldn't swear to that.
It's the 26th.
For Wrangell.
Excuse me.
Oh, 26th. Okay, is it April 1st? Is that possible in Petersburg then?
It is April 1st. We have an assembly meeting.
Okay.
No, it's not on the agenda, though, but I have to put it on the agenda.
Okay.
So
thanks to everyone for helping arrange that too.
So, Mr. Chair, just for clarity here, if I may.
You may.
So, and maybe just getting a little bit back more to where Carl was asking there is, and this is directed to you, David, that the draft that was provided for Ketchikan, and we also have provided drafts to Ketchikan, Petersburg and Wrangell as well. So, all three member utilities have a draft before them. We're looking for their respective assemblies, councils, to approve it and it's substantially the form that it's in that then authorizes their city manager to proceed with that. Is that correct? Just so everybody's on the same page here. So we're not requiring, you shouldn't need any more changes is where I was going with that? Okay.
The resolutions won't change. It's possible the forms of the certificates may need to change a little bit.
In their final form?
Correct.
Not but on the form that's going toward to the assemblies and councils for approval?
Correct.
Okay.
In other words, the final certificates may need to reflect some of the information that we'll get only after the bond bank sells its bonds. But that's why we're saying that the resolution approves a certificate and substantially the form provided to the council or the assembly. It may well change. The date of closing could change by a day or two. There are certain details relating to the bond bank's bonds and the agency, the date of the agency's agreement, of course, would need to be reflected in those certificates.
Thanks, David. I just wanted to make that clarification for folks that may not be familiar with the process. So
I appreciate that. Thank you. Are there any other questions?
Mr. Chair, this is Bob again. Question there. When do you expect to have the documents to the various boroughs or councils?
The resolutions have already gone out. I believe Trey sent them to Wrangell and Petersburg, and I sent the resolution to Ketchikan. The forms of certificate, I may get some input in the next couple days, and therefore may be able to send slightly revised forms of certificates to each of the member utilities that would accompany that resolution. But the resolutions are essentially final, I think.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, go ahead.
This is Robert Larson in Petersburg. And I hear that we're saving some money, and that sounds good. But is there a trade-off someplace? Are we increasing any risk? Or, normally when you save in one place, you risk something someplace else. But is that the case here, or is it all one-sided?
Chair?
Go ahead, Craig.
What this is, it's essentially, to put it into simple terms, it would be like refinancing your house mortgage, where you're paying a lower interest rate. So that's a good thing. The only thing that fundamentally changes would be the springing amendments that David summarized earlier. So those are probably the two components, but for the most part, we're just getting cheaper money, and we're able to save through the process a little, $350,000 or so. So it's a good thing.
Trey, this is David. In addition, I would say that it is like refinancing a mortgage. Your new bank, your new lender, however, is the bond bank, which in many cases is a more forgiving lender than if you've got bonds out there held by investors in the public marketplace. I'm not suggesting anything is likely to go wrong with the agency, but the bond bank is flexible, and if you're late getting some kind of information out to the marketplace, you might you dinged a little bit under federal securities laws. You don't have that kind of problem if your lender is the Alaska Bond Bank. So I think your change in lenders may make life slightly simpler for you.
Thank you. Carl?
Thanks.
Just one last question, Joel. Again, to confirm what you said at our last regular meeting, once the bonds are refinancing relative to the Whitman true-up, that no longer is tied to bond covenants and rests solely at the discretion of the SEPA board with a unanimous vote. Is that correct?
Yeah, that condition springs, essentially, and we're no longer hampered by any covenants we made to the bondholders and the insurer at the time in 2009. So yes, short answer is you're correct.
Thank you.
It's all up to the agency board to determine that.
Thank you, Joel. Any other questions?
So I was just going to weigh in on Carl's comment there as well. And it kind of ties back to Mr. Larson's question on, is there anything negative? So potentially by springing these amendments, and if the board were to vote to do away with the Whitman true-up, that would be a financial impact to the organization.
Yeah. Understood. Hearing nothing else, Sharon, would you please call the roll?
Lynn?
Yes.
Amelon?
Yes.
Sievertson?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, David.
David, thank you very much.
Thanks, David. Appreciate it.
Okay, take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
That brings us on to item 4, old business reservoir management discussion. So what do we got, Trey?
So, well, we did get a little bit of inflow over the rainy weekend there, so that was nice to see. Swan Lake levels 284, and Tyee is 1260.1. And we're getting some little warmer weather here, and we won't really know if we're full into the turn here until we see some sustained inflows. So right at this time, we're not recommending that we change course from our current operations plan. If we start to see, you know, more regular, higher level inflows, like things are coming off the mountain at a steady state, then we would consider, you know, ratcheting back and turning on some units. We discussed a little bit here too, as far as when we would might think about shifting off of diesel on the north end. Right, you know, I think it was conveyed to us earlier from the northern communities that they'd like to maintain 1260. So it would make sense that, you know, we would build up a little bit more water and see some fairly regular inflows before we backed off the diesel on that end. But with that said, you know, that could happen over the course of a few days, possibly. You know, and so maybe a 1265 or something, we might look at turning some units on. I know that they would probably like to, you know, maybe time that with a weekend or something and give their guys a rest. So that's possible that, you know, that could occur. But with current conditions as they are, we're on status quo right now.
Okay. So that's about, what, 3.9 that we've raised in this range? We started out at, what, 280.1 or something like that?
Yeah. But we're still right in that spot, so it's there's no big catalyst to start selling a bunch of power. And because once we start drafting, I mean, we talked about it in-house here a little bit this morning. If it current loads on the north end, if we shut diesels off and started providing power out of Tyee, you'd be back to drafting about at least a half a foot a day. So you would see a pretty good, you know, decline in the lake at a pretty rapid pace. So therefore, that's why we're recommending status quo here, at least till we get up to maybe 1265.
Yeah, I appreciate that. We also are concerned because we're going to have herring season coming
this week, right?
It was potentially going to start Sunday, but they didn't go Sunday. Sunday last minute, their herring wasn't sufficient in volume. It was right in weight, right in size, but not in volume, total volume, and they elected not to launch. So now it's going to be every day. They're going to be sampling. And then they give the 2-hour notice. So it could be this week, could be later. Okay. And the impact that has is EC Phillips is the largest here. They'll kick on all 5 compressors, which I believe would be in excess of 2,000 horsepower. And so, and they could go 24/7. That's the impact here.
How long does that usually run?
Again, it's they can be anyways from just a couple of days to over a week.
Okay. So a couple of days to a week long. It's a pretty short window, I know.
Right. And then again, based on volume, they could do one shift, just day shift, or they could expand into three shifts around the clock, depending upon volume.
And you guys probably picked up some levels in your lakes as well, too, over the weekend, I suspect.
We did. Whitman responded wonderfully. I think we picked up 4 feet in Whitman, which put us out of the siphon mode, which was a big detriment there. So some security there for the hatchery.
If I could, this is Carl Ketchikan. I think Andy will talk more about this tomorrow in the weekly operators call, but we're in conversation with DEC. We are rapidly approaching our limits for units 3 and 4, and it looks like we are going to be required to do some things, and we're exploring those now, but it could have an impact on us and our abilities in the next couple of months, and we'll keep you posted. But I just wanted to get that out there.
Are you anticipating any changes, suggesting any changes tomorrow?
No.
Okay.
We're just going to talk about it tomorrow, correct?
Well, we were concerned about the May shutdown.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You want to speak to that?
Right. So we'll be out of hours. If things go as they are, we'll be out of hours on bag 4 by May. And so then to have a shutdown, that would be a concern. So we're trying to do some mitigation now to see what we can do to save hours. But at the same time, knowing that up front, if that outage could be deferred or advanced, that would be better.
So Andy, what is the generation coming out of bag 4 right now? What do we provide?
Well, that's up to 10.5 megawatts. And bag 3 is 5. And I don't have these things all memorized here, but basically on bag 3, which is the 5 megawatts, we've got 767 hours remaining. At the rate we're going, we figure that'll be up by April 26th. And bag 4, 1,650 hours, we feel that'd be up by May 25th. So we're going to try some strategies in the interim to extend that. We're also in conversation at least weekly with ADEC, trying to figure out what our best value is here to avoid violation. And then the only issue is, regardless of what we do, by April 9th we hit a limit here where we're required to put in certain monitoring devices.
And that's what we advised the council of last meeting.
Yeah.
So the monitoring devices are for emissions and area emissions. So long term, if we put in some catalytic converters, we can basically extend these indefinitely and never have to worry about this. But that's quite a huge expense.
What is that, Andy?
You know, we looked at it a couple of years ago when we were trying to get through the part ZZZ, with the highway stuff, et cetera. Yeah. And that was looking to be about $1.5 million. And so I don't have better numbers right now, but what would really be nice is if we could get something economy of scale where we could pipe in both 3 and 4 into, say, a single unit, single stack. I don't know if that can be done reasonably, and then we're done with that.
We're going to be laying something on the table Thursday night relative to getting somebody on board to start helping us go through the process. But
yeah, that's good.
So meanwhile, we want to do a couple more rentals, and for a couple of reasons, and one of those is to get some hours off of 3.
And as I talked to you on Friday, I pulled the trigger on that, and I'll lay that on the table Thursday.
Correct.
As well.
And so then, did you pull the trigger on it? We're looking like a week and a half, 2 weeks out on getting those delivered.
Oh, to get them here?
Yeah.
Right now they're originating out of Florida, so it's going to be at least a week to get to the West Coast. So let's say 2 weeks, and then schedule about, so they may be 3 weeks out before they arrive here.
Okay.
To be reasonable.
Same type and size?
Yeah. They're identical in size, but they're newer. And I'm told they only have 100 hours on them. We did look seriously to see if we could purchase those, because obviously newer is, the ones that we have that we got our rentals of are really labor intensive and trying to keep them running. So we thought newer ones would be better, and the organization that's running them says, no, they're not for sale, they're for rental. And so...
But if we are seriously looking at catalytic converters and doing something, we're probably going to be looking at some type of fall bond issue to throw in the telecom issue that we have to be packaging. So.
All righty. So tomorrow's meeting, it doesn't look like there's any changes, so you guys are just going to continue to monitor and work on that.
That's what I'm thinking. Any thoughts there, guys?
Status quo. We gained 0.2 today in 8 hours.
Mr. Chair, I got a question. This is Bob Lynn from Petersburg.
Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, at our last meeting, we had an agreement that if I remember correctly, Swan, that when it hit 285, we'd be willing to put part of that, half of that power north. Are we still on that same agreement? And could we plan then, from a northern standpoint of looking at how our diesel, what we're doing, how we're doing business here?
Great. So, I mean, the first comment I'd have is we wouldn't start loading up Swan until there was clearly steady inflows coming in. You know, you could, if you started it right up at 285, obviously you're just going to drain it right below that and you'll reach your threshold, right? So you'd have to take it a few feet above that before you could seriously get into it. Robert, did you have something you wanted to say?
I agree with that. I think it really is going to be when you start seeing the inflows, it's going to be 55 to 60 degree weather with some rain on it for both plants. So, yeah, I agree with that statement.
At one time during the conversation, we were trying to bank enough water, and I think we topped 295 as a level. What we were shooting for a comfortable rain.
Shooting for your inflows to exceed your draft.
Right.
Yeah. The 295 was from quite a earlier discussion, but if we saw that we had just, you know, nice steady inflows coming in, then I think we'd have probably a pretty serious discussion about it. And Mr. Lynn on the phone there, directly to your question, right now we're kind of seeing, we're actually seeing some reasonably good inflows into Tyee. And so I'm not sure if we actually have an opportunity potentially to operate Tyee maybe before Swan. So we'll see how that comes to fruition, but the timing of the both those may occur about the same time. I'm not sure if it will fully displace all your diesel.
Thank you.
Do you mind if I be excused for a minute?
Yeah. Sure.
Mr. Chair.
All right. Is there any other discussion in regards to reservoir management? Yep.
Sure, Mr. Chair.
Yeah.
So we do have a situation right now with the Swan Bailey intertie or Swan Berry transmission line, right? And it's down right now. So we have Lyman at Swan right now doing some recon work in CEPA's behalf to determine the potential failure of a potential transformer, a PT, used in a relay scheme, and whether or not that we can switch one for another. So that's going on right now today, and so that would be a limit. Supposing that we were 285 and rising right now, that's a little bit of a it's a hurdle that we got to overcome here. Hopefully, we'll do that. And then I don't know where we're going to source parts. I don't know the availability of parts. So
we're investigating the potential to use a PT off of a different area and use it there temporarily. And, you know, we believe this particular failure occurred when There were some issues at Bailey over the weekend, and this was something.
Transient.
This was a transient condition. That actually, the failure at Bailey caused this failure on our equipment, as near that we can tell. But anyway, so we've been actively working on it the entire weekend, trying to figure out the best course of action, trying to identify the particular problem. There might be a shorted turn or something in this particular PT that's not causing a complete failure, but you're seeing some indication there. So we're looking at some options. Hopefully we can get that swapped out with this other alternative PT that's in a different location to restore line capability, and just in case Ketchikan actually would need to crank up Swan and use that power for, say, emergency or a diesel failure or something like that. So.
And then we'll just order up the parts.
Right now we've got nameplate data. We went up and captured that this morning out at the plant there, and we're looking at those, and we'll get those parts expedited.
So you say that we got a line crew out at Swan right now?
Correct.
Okay.
And the testing's not done. Yeah, that's when we come in here. So
yeah. Yeah, they were just
determine what the problem is.
Okay.
Finally getting it.
And then the other issue that we have is we need to replace a head gasket on bag 3 as soon as possible. So as soon as we could get this line back and be assured that we could get Swan generation, then we could swap out and replace the head gasket. So we're hoping that maybe in a couple of days that could come to fruition. Otherwise,
How long did it take to change out one of the head gaskets?
I think the last one we pulled off in record time, so I don't know that we could repeat that, but probably on the order of 3 hours.
So do we have a window of opportunity with the generation that we have available now?
We could be able to do that with the weather and the temperatures persist before we get into any kind of a herring mm-hmm. a herring run, right, with loads. Mm-hmm. So that's possible.
Off hour peaks.
It could do, yeah, something like that could happen.
All right. And then we did have an outage, and that was the breaker issue at North End someplace.
Yeah, it actually turned out to be a PT, potential transformer, for the breaker south.
South, okay.
Correct. Yeah, at Bailey is divided into north and south at Bailey, right? So the breaker south had a PT failure. And then the fix was to bypass to the north, and the PT was replaced. And then today they were going to do the seamless, you would know, restore of that breaker, basically pull the jumper off.
He's a good guy.
You learn a lot about social media when you have
more than you ever wanted to know.
Yeah. Well, I watched the way you guys restored it on your app, and I loaded everything up and then brought everything on and let it settle out and then started dropping. You thought that's pretty neat to watch. I thought I saw that one of the generators at Swan was turned on or red on the.
They tried a couple of times to start, but it kept tripping off because of this PT and relay issue in Swan.
Okay.
Which ultimately led
to what we're doing.
Yeah. It let Robert to go up there and determine. He thought it was the PT, and then now our crew's up there to
verify it.
Verify it, and then a plan of swapping.
Okay. Good.
So it still remains to.
All right. Is there anything else in regard to reservoir management? Brings us to our new item 5 with meetings. Are we continuing on Mondays?
So, Mr. Chair, I just wanted to remind the board we do have a special meeting planned for that Thursday. And it's really up to you guys. If you want to meet again on Monday, we're happy to do so. If you want to kick that out to Thursday and to where we have our special meeting that's been planned for some time now, a few days later. So, 7 to 10 days, your choice there.
I guess I'll leave it up to the members what they want to do. I think this has been beneficial just before the
call-in meeting in regards to what you guys are doing on the management side of things. Of course, if there's no changes, there's not much of a need because everything that is going to be business-oriented is going to be out on the Thursday meeting anyway, right?
Yes, sir.
What's your wishes?
This is Bob Lynn there from Petersburg. I prefer that we hold off until the Thursday meeting.
Hold off until the Thursday meeting?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So that seems fine. Let's go ahead and do that, and we'll not have a meeting next Monday and plan on it for Thursday. If there's something comes up, we can always call something. Is there anything else? Hearing none, do I have a motion for adjournment?
Bob Lynn, so moved to adjourn.
Thank you, Bob. We'll stand adjourned.
Thanks, everyone. Appreciate it.